Thank you, Andrew and Brenda. Appreciate you leading us in singing. You may have noticed, first of all, welcome to all of you. It's good to have you here. And I was going to say it's nice to have those hymns of victory in Jesus and so on. And life is like that, isn't it? It's a battle. And with God on our side, we have the victory. Amen. Well, I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. As you know, we want to pray for Warren. He's had a busy week from what Brenda was saying. And he came down apparently last night not feeling that well, but this morning he had a temperature of 101, I think it was, Brenda. Is that correct? Yeah, so he just felt he couldn't come. So when I found out I was actually shaving, that he couldn't come. So, okay. You know, the Lord is good and this is on here. Can you hear me now? Yeah, it just needs to be a bit louder, John. Okay, is that all right at the back? Okay, good. Yeah, so, you know, we need to be prepared and the Lord is good. I remember just before we start, sometimes in Africa, things happen like that. We stop, go to a place to speak, and they say, I thought maybe we'd be just doing one meeting. And they say, well, you're going to speak all morning and also in the afternoon. We have people coming in, so we're looking forward to it. Okay. I remember one time traveling with a couple of men, and he said, oh, we're coming to my terra, they call it, or earth. We would say the equivalent, my home area, my hometown. And he said, I'd like to stop in my village. And I said, okay, you know. And we came out, and then the elders came and the people, and they said, oh, welcome. We'd like you to speak to us. And what do you do? Well, my Bible's in the car, you know, so. But the Lord is good, and he works things out. Warren was going to speak on Joshua, so I thought we'd just keep with that in our series of faith. And we've also been studying that in our Tuesday night Bible study. So we have some thoughts already. At least I have some thoughts. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. So let's take a look at that and learn about Joshua and this battle that he's preparing for to lead his people into the promised land. Chapter 1, verse 1, it starts off, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel, the Jordan River, of course. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command them shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So here's the battle plans lined up and the admonition to go into the promised land. Joshua is going to lead them. Moses couldn't remember because of Moses' sin of striking the rock. God did not permit him to go, and he brought him up to Mount Nebo at the top, and he showed him the land, but he said, you're not allowed to go in. And he buried, it says he, Moses died, and he buried him on top of Mount Nebo. But Joshua, Moses, one of Moses' disciples, Joshua and Caleb, the two spies, Joshua had the privilege of leading the people in. And I appreciate the thoughts in it that he's bringing out as he's going to lead these people and their response to him. It was written about 1400 BC, 1400 to 1370 BC. So I think we're looking at about 3,500 years ago or so this event happened. And of course, Joshua is the writer of this. He was actually born in Egypt. And he was of the tribe of Ephraim. And who knows what Joshua means? I think we had it at the breaking of bread, but just anybody want to? It's to do with that, yeah. It's to do with, and Jesus' name comes from that. Yes, Jehovah or Yahweh is my salvation. Exactly. Thank you, John. That's what it means. Names are important. Just a little sidetrack thing. I find when talking to people, it's a good way of being able to share the Lord, especially if they have a biblical name. Anybody that has an L in the name, like Michael or Eleanor or Daniel, that L stands for God. So they have God somewhere in their name. Daniel means God is my judge, for instance. And when you talk to someone, you meet them for the first time, you say, oh, your name is, even a girl, you know, Danielle. Oh, your name is Danielle. Very interesting. Do you know what that name means? And they're kind of, it's kind of getting into their personal space, but they don't mind because they're, oh, well, I never thought about it. Well, it means God is my judge, like, for instance, Michael. So that's your name, and you need to live up to that, you know, and then you can bring in the gospel. There's a fellow I met called, Joshua. And I said, do you know what that name means? He was a young guy. And he kind of looked at me, you know, like anybody else would. Huh? And I said, it means Yahweh is my salvation. Oh, really? Yeah. And, you know, do you know him? You know, it's just a way of talking to them. You have to be careful, though. I was explaining at our men's breakfast once. I think it was at the drugstore. I met a guy called Jacob. And I said, oh, you know, he was selling, or the guy doing the cash, and I said, oh, your name is Jacob, do you know what that means? No, you know, he was a young guy. I think I scarred him for life, because I said, oh, it means supplanter, you know, trickster. And he kind of, oh, really? Like, I felt so bad afterwards. So you have to be careful, you know. Anyway, moving along, Joshua means Yahweh is salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. And this is the people he's bringing over. He was about 90 years old when he was going to lead the people. And I thought about that for a bit. 90. I know a man that's 90 years old, and I have a little Bible study with him. And he does not feel like doing very much other than drinking tea, you know, all day long. When we're 90, are we going to feel like doing this? It's impressive, isn't it? At 90 years old, he's going to be leading his people into Israel. Three times in this chapter, it says that Joshua says to the people to be strong and courageous. You may want to underline those. If you look down at verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. And then verse 7, be strong and very courageous. You could underline that as well. And then join it up to verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. It's important. When things are repeated in Scripture, I think we all realize that. It's not that the author is running out of words to say, you know. It's important. He's sort of stressing these things. And for instance, when Jesus says, the Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, he says, what follows is very important. He's repeating that word, verily or truly. Here it's the same thing, be strong and courageous. So he's encouraging us. And if we want to make this personal in our own lives, we all have difficulties in life. You know, nobody's exempt, you know. I think we all, right? We all have issues, whether they're medical or they're family issues, financial, whatever, relational. We all have some issues. And the Lord is telling us to be strong and courageous. Hang in there, in other words. He will be with us and help us. So he's encouraging them. He's kind of like a coach saying, okay, you know, here's the big game. Be strong and courageous. Something like, maybe people like Martin Luther King would have said, or General Patton, or Winston Churchill, people like that. They were great encouragers. Well, Joshua is an example of that. The three calls, we could call them three calls to be strong and courageous. Realizing that he's dealing with an obstinate people. Jewish people are not easy people to work with. And any of us have dealt with Jews, I think you know what I'm talking about. They are hardcore. I meet them occasionally going to Angola or in Angola because they're good at agronomy. The Angolan government uses them. And trying to witness to a Jewish person is very hard. They're hard nuts to crack, so to speak. They just, what? Jehovah, Yahweh, I don't want to hear anything like that. They're obstinate or stubborn kinds of people. And that's what Joshua has here. And Moses is not with him either. Moses was very good with them, but now it's on Joshua. But look at verse 5. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses. I will be with you, and I will not fail you or forsake you. Jehovah is speaking to them. And I think Joshua feels that God is going to be with them and help them as well. Let's look at it again. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses. I'll be with you. And Joshua is thinking the same thing. He's going to be with me, and he won't fail or forsake you. So even though there are difficult people, Joshua might be thinking, it's going to be rough, but God is with me, he's going to help me, and he's going to help these people as we get into this promised land. So we have, we could say, a promise in verse 5 that God is going to be with Joshua, with the people. And then in verse 6, we see that he says, again, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. We could call that God's power. He's going to give them the ability to conquer. Not only is he the promise, but the ability to do it. And then verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is what? With you, wherever you go. And again, just to make it practical in our own lives, in our own battles that we have, if we are believers, the Lord promises to give us His presence, His power, and the ability to do what He wants us to do. So praise the Lord for that. Again, just put yourselves in Joshua's place. These obstinate people, these enemies that I'm going to come across. My master is not with me anymore. But we need to do what the Lord says, and we can be strong and courageous. Verses 10 and 11, he commissions his officers. He says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you are to cross the Jordan to go into to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So he's commanding them, and you can just see the people going through the camp and getting the things ready that they would need. I find, although I've never been in the military myself, but I find reading about military battles, I just finished a series on the Revolutionary War. It's fascinating to see how armies get organized and what they do, and the detail that goes into it. Just to supply an army to go into a battle of some sort. There's a lot that goes, a lot that happens. And so they would have to not only provide food for the soldiers, but then when they got into the Promised Land, they'd have to have food as well to supply them and just to keep them going. So that's his commission to the officers. And then he gives a commission to the three tribes. Remember what was going to happen? Three of the tribes were going to have land on the west side of the Jordan, but they would have to still go in with the rest of the troops cross over the Jordan to the east side. Am I got my directions right? Is it the other way around? East-west. I've had issues with... I'm called directionally challenged. So anyway, just leave it at that. One side to the other side. Three tribes would stay on one side, and the others were going to rest or stay on one side and live there, and the other tribes would be on the other side of the Jordan. But these three tribes still had to cross over and help with the conquest, and then they could go back. So that's the backdrop for verses 12 to 15. He said to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you the rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land, on the other side of the Jordan here, which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array. So you still need to go, across the Jordan. All your valiant warriors and shall help them until the Lord gives you your brothers rest as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return. Then you can come back to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. So he's giving that order to them in their possession of it. Then we have the response of the three tribes to that, and that's in verse 16. They answer Joshua saying, well, all that you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. We'll do that. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So things are getting lined up. The orders have been given to enter the Promised Land. Moses Joshua says, be strong and courageous. He commissions the officers to get the people ready, the supply line organized and moving, and the food supplies. And then he commissions the three tribes, okay, you need to go over with them as well and fight. And then the response of the three tribes, okay, we'll hang in there, we'll do it. And I just want to make a personal application to us, ourselves here. How many times have we had an issue going on in our own lives? And the Lord says, it's all right, I'll be with you. I'll help you with this. But we keep taking it back from Him and worrying about it and fretting over it when we should leave it with Him. How many of us have done that? And we're not strong and courageous. We kind of go, yeah, I know the Lord's in control, but there's this, this, and this. I don't know if He really knows about all these things. I mean, that's kind of what we're saying, aren't we? So we need to just say, yeah, we will do it. Like these people did in verse 18, or verse 16. All that you have commanded us, we will do. You know, in our own daily battles, we need to leave it with the Lord. And it's easier said than done, isn't it? I 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you, or careth for you. You know, we need to put a no fishing sign, that we just don't keep fishing those problems back up again. We put them in the Lord's hands, and we have to leave them there. We will do what you say. We will let you handle this situation. I just don't want to get in the way. And it's amazing how it goes against the grain sometimes to do that, but we see how the Lord works it all out for us. And this is, I'm trying to put myself in Joshua's place as well as the soldiers that are going to be going over. How would Joshua feel? You know, he knows what's on the other side. He knows they're greater in number. They're walled cities that he has to conquer. And he's telling his people, you know, let's go, be strong and courageous. And I'm sure he's saying to himself the same thing. Okay, Joshua, you've got to do the same thing. So the encouragement to us is in our own situation, as I mentioned, just to hang in there and, okay. In this particular situation, or these situations, I'm not really sure. I know the Lord's behind me, but I don't know how this is all going to work out. But I'm just trusting that He will work it out. Amen? Perhaps some encouragement to us would be to go back a few chapters into Deuteronomy when Moses was alive, and he's giving some orders as well. Moses Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to just look at some verses here, 15 to 20, and Moses is giving a charge as well concerning the promised land. It's like he's the master. Remember, he wasn't allowed to enter, and Joshua took his place. But there's still some relevant instructions here that the Israelites needed. So let's just read verses 15 to 30. He says, see, of chapter 30, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I, remember it's Moses speaking, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. Again, talking about this promised land, Beulah land, if we want to call it that, that they're going to go. But if your heart turns away, he says, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods, idols, and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. So he's saying to them, I want you to go, but don't get involved with the gods of Canaan, of where you're going. You need to stick with me. Verse 18 again, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter possession. Don't forget me. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. And look at these commands. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Moses is saying, okay, you know, go into the land. But there's some conditions. Don't abandon the Lord. There are at least three that I can see here in verse 20. The first one is, by loving the Lord your God. Just love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That's the first one. The second one is obeying his voice. Not only hearing what he says, but obey him. And the third one is by holding fast to him or clinging to him. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. We're to draw close to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, and you may live in this promised land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. In the promise to Joshua as well, he's saying, you've got the land. I'm going to give it to you. But there's some conditions that you need to hold on to when you get there. You need to do these three things, that you need to love the Lord your God. You need to obey his voice, and you need to hold fast to him. And I'm applying that again to our own lives and our own battles. I think especially it's more predominant in men. We are, well, we can do this, you know, and by our own strength and power. And sometimes we forget about the Lord and we don't stick close to him. We say, acknowledge, well, yeah, he can get us through this. But then we kind of go off on our own. But he wants us to love him. To not get sidetracked, if I can use that term, by the issues and the things of life. And he wants us to obey him. And he wants us to cling to him. And that's not easy for many of us, is it? We get kind of involved in the things of life. I think of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all the necessary things of life will be added to you. God will take care of you. But seek him. Stick close to him. And what the Lord Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's a simple but extremely important command. If any man will come after me, if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus, deny yourself. And he's not talking about diet, you know, or TV or something. He's saying, put me in first place. It's talking about yourself. Make him the master of your life. If any man will deny himself, take up his cross. That's not one's, you know, mother-in-law or some kind of ailment that they have. That's, yeah, okay? That's talking about being prepared to suffer for the Lord. As he suffered for us, we need to suffer for him. And then follow me. So there's to be a Christian is not, you know, it's easy in a sense to confess the Lord, But in another sense, we need to stick close to him. And that's what he's saying. You know, you've got to, once you're there, you've got to love the Lord, obey him, and hold fast to him. Mentioning Angola or Africa, I would think the biggest issue there in the church, I'm talking about the church, is going back to idols. If I mention that in a church, I say, you know, we follow the Lord. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we leave our life behind. We turn from it, repentance, and we turn to God and follow him closely. And then he becomes our master. And I say, we leave our idols behind. And they understand exactly what you're talking about. The biggest problem, though, is going back to idolatria, as they call it, is going back and messing with idols. And they know exactly what you're talking about. And we may smile to ourselves and think, well, we don't have idols, you know. We don't have these little fetishes or little things that we kind of wear on our, around our neck or something like that. But do we have idols? We do. Sports. And don't misunderstand me. Hunting, fishing, you know. It's okay. I'm not against hunting, fishing. Don't misunderstand me. But when that becomes an idol, that takes too much time in our life, then it becomes a problem. TV, movies, vacation, whatever. Food. I could go on, right? I don't want to get too personal. But these things are idols and can become idols in our lives. So we have to leave them behind and stick close to the Lord. And love him, obey him, and cling to him. I just wanted to mention a couple more things. I'm not that well prepared, but I was thinking this morning about battles in life and the fact that the Lord is with us and that he wants us to obey him and he'll give us the victory, but not to abandon him, not to sort of take him for granted, but to stick close to him under all circumstances. This past week, I was thinking of a situation that I was involved with. Sometimes I have the opportunity to sub at the school. It helps out, you know, to do that for our, Louise and I, for me to be there, maybe one or two days a week. And this week I was on Thursday. Wednesday. I was going to be subbing for a sociology teacher or social studies teacher. They used to call it history when I went to school. Now they call it social studies. So when I got there, they said, well, there's been a change of plans. You're not a sociology teacher, a social studies teacher today. You're going to be in the special education department. And and you've got charge of somebody there. And I said, okay, you know, you have to be adaptable. So I went there. And I was given the charge for part of the day, quite a bit of it, of a young girl who was severely handicapped. I don't know, you know, what was wrong with her, but she couldn't move her arms or her legs. She couldn't talk, and she was in a special wheelchair, but she could hear, she could see. And they had a computer screen lined up that with her eyes, she could make things happen on the computer. But it was basic things like, are you comfortable? Do you want a break or something like that? And she could say yes and no, just with her eyes. But I mean, what would you do? You know, you're suddenly put in this position or this situation. So I tried to do things with her. I read some books to her, like Winnie the Pooh and that kind of thing. And I could tell she was understanding some of it, or at least smiling on occasion. And then she kind of fell asleep, probably from my reading, you know. And then she woke up, and then it was time to put her to lie down. And I remember her lying down. I had a blanket on her, and I was rubbing her back. And she had one eye that she could see over the covers, and there was a computer screen there that she could see, and it was some kind of like little cartoon thing on it. And she was responding to that, and she was smiling. I see her smile, and then chortle a little bit with certain scenes on it. And I was rubbing her back, you know, just kind of trying to make her comfortable. And I began to think, you know, God created this child, although she's severely handicapped. What is going to happen to her in life? You know, how is she going to face all the things that come up in life? And I began to think of myself as well, and you know, naturally going, well, you know, I'm so thankful I'm not in this condition, this handicap situation. But I thought, you know, we all have our difficulties and battles. This child is, you know, obviously has more difficulties, physical difficulties than I have. But it's the same God that takes care of her as he does me. And God will provide for her, and he'll provide for me. And it was kind of, it's very personal, but it was kind of a wake-up call for me, you know, I had no idea at the beginning of the day that would happen, you know, that I'd be with a child like that and kind of rubbing her back and trying to encourage her. But I thought, you know, what a great God we have. He puts us in this world, and he knows the things that are going to happen to us and the situations that we're going to enter. But he gives us the victory in those. Even though we are frail and have our limitations, he's still there to guide us. Just like he does with this little child that I was with, and he does with each of us. So we have a great God, don't we? He took Joshua through this, got him into the promised land, got the people there. He said, I'll give you the victory, but stick close to me. So perhaps that could be our personal application this morning. As we go through the week, we may face issues, situations that we never dreamed of. Things can change overnight, can't they? We don't know what the week holds, but we know that we have a great God that'll be with us and help us. The provision is stick close to him, right? Well, let's just pray and thank the Lord for that truth. Father, this morning, we are thankful that you're a great and wonderful God, that you've put us in this world, and you want us to listen to you, to obey you, and to cling to you. Think of Warren this morning and pray that he would feel better and get over this fever. And if there's any infection, that he would recover from that quickly. We think of our own situations in life. We don't know what the next day holds. But we know that you're there to help us, to encourage us, to give us the victory, to teach us lessons from whatever happens. We know that you know what the day holds before we do. Thank you that we can trust in you for the victory, for the encouragement, for the help. Our part is to be strong and courageous. And thank you, Lord, that we have such a great God who is there no matter what. So as we go through this week, we pray, Lord, that you will guide us and help us and encourage us. And for our part, we want to stay close to you. We ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.